Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Hagman and Hagman Report. We're coming to you live from our radio and television studios in Northwest Pennsylvania. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Thank you for your belief and trust in us. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's war out there. War has been declared against the truth. Well, it's always, I shouldn't say it just has been declared. It hasn't just been declared. It has gone sideways and it's asymmetrical in nature. And, you know, about 3-4 years ago, I wrote a column that appeared on Canada Free Press and elsewhere that stated, it's time to choose which side you're going to be on. And I say that again today. Everybody is going to have to choose the side that they wish to be on. Are you going to stand up for what you believe in, for your principles, for the truth, integrity? Or are you going to acquiesce or be a milquetoast in this war? You got really three choices. You either can lead, you can follow, or you can get the hell out of our way. Simple as that. Because we are going for the truth, nothing but the truth. So help me God. And I can speak for Joe in that the Hagman Report stands for truth. We are searching for that truth, and we'll expose the machinations of the evildoers every chance we get. And one of the foremost individuals in the quest for truth and the exposure of evil in this new media platform is John B. Wells. John B. Wells of Caravan to Midnight fame. You know him. And I'll tell you something. If being in the trenches with a man like John B. Wells, it's an honor to be in those trenches with him. He's coming. He's let me know when he's available. We're still waiting for him to call, and he's going to be with us for this segment. And of course, you know, again, he's the voice behind the ultra popular Caravan to Midnight radio show. He was on Coast to Coast AM, and then he wasn't. For many of the same reasons. The backstory, see, people talk with authority over backstory, over what they might see and read in the paper or see on television, the mainstream corporate media. No. You don't know. The biggest critics are the least fact-based critics. The biggest mouthpieces of mush are the least informed. I could tell you that flat out. As Dave Dobmeier says, Coach Dave Dobmeier, Pass Assault, Coach Dave Live. I love that guy. If I called him up today and said, hey, Coach, man, you know, we're under attack. He'd say, what do you expect? We're in a war. Quit your whining. That's why I love him. We are in a war. And again, one of the warriors for truth is John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight. A man, again, to reiterate, a man I am proud to be in the trenches with. Joe and I are both proud to be in the trenches with, side by side. If you haven't subscribed to Caravan to Midnight, I would urge everyone to support Caravan to Midnight. By supporting Caravan to Midnight, you're supporting all of us. You're supporting the truth. You're supporting the road to inform others. We're all in this together. And again, you've got to pick your side. Not pick your seat, not pick your nose, but pick your side. It's time. If you haven't done so already, in case you haven't taken the temperature outside, it's getting hot. and it's only going to get hotter. Without further ado, John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight. John, how are you, sir?
I'm doing all right. How are you, Doug?
Feeling froggy today, John.
I'm feeling a little froggy myself, I'll tell you. I'm feeling froggy, but I'm starting to get that Jack Nicholson permanently bleep-faced look in the eyes now. Because I'll tell you, lately it's just been a continual stream of treachery, betrayal. Let's see, global disaster, terrorism, financial collapse, and of course, Armageddon. So,
in other words, just another Thursday, right?
It's just another Thursday. Just living the dream, right? trying to get to the answer to the big three-letter question. WHY.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
We're watching and experiencing things unfold here. As you point out, the treachery. John, where do you even start? You look at the landscape of news headlines and stuff. Where do you even start? Foremost right now on your radar?
I'll tell you the truth. You know, Doug, it started for me, and maybe people have heard me tell the story before, out of consideration to those who have heard it, I'll be brief, but I'll keep the main points here. When I saw it was odd that I should turn on television that day, and I saw what happened at the Branch Davidian compound. And watching this live stream from a television station that was a client of mine for 25 years, and that would be WFAA TV Channel 8 in Dallas, Texas. And I'm thinking to myself, it says live down in the right, lower right corner of the screen. And yet, there is no doubt in my mind that this video feed is being, well, edited. Now, the other question is, how did they get so close? They must be using one heck of a lens to get in that close. And the other thing is, how do they happen to be doing this at second story? It's the roof of the first story. How do they have their camera almost as though it's on a dolly, you know, pointing right at these guys? So, okay, this can be done. But the most disturbing part, I'm going to have to make a move here so it'll get noisy for just a second. I'm sorry, because I'm still in the field, so to speak. My big question was, why is this station that is the one you trust for all the news you need to know, why am I seeing edits in this live stream? Then when I went down there and asked somebody about it, they just went quiet. They got that look on their faces like, don't, just don't ask. Then, as the years went by, and as I'm sure you're aware, the years are just flying by. A week is like a blink of an eye, and a month is two blinks, and a year is like one short nap, and it's the next year. The old conservative guard, the general manager and the creative director and this and that, they were all replaced by people who, the moment that I saw these people after I had gone out to Los Angeles, I went out to Los Angeles kind of flew around up there to see what kind of opportunities might present themselves. And a few good things did, but I became aware very quickly that anything that even suggested a conservative point of view, as the label goes, and it's really nothing more than a label now, you're not gonna be doing much work out there. So after that final situation, I was happy I'd had my LA experience, and I went back to Dallas, and the attitude at that station had changed dramatically. And there was a TV station downstairs and an AM and an FM upstairs, and right across the driveway was a newspaper. And Wiley was a somewhat, a bastion of logical, conservative ideology. They were just interested in the facts, and they did a good job at it, but it totally shifted to something else, and now they've divested themselves of the radio stations years ago. And maybe the newspaper as well, but the Dallas Morning News, biggest paper in town, and in fact really the only paper in town, you can't really count the Dallas Observer, it used to be the Dallas Times Herald, they were decidedly left-leaning. Dallas Morning News, well, and Brown Jr., I believe it was. Yeah, Robert Kennedy Jr. Went on his vaccine crusade and said that he was speaking with Roger Ailes. And Ailes said, look, I do have concerns over these vaccines, but I cannot run this story, and I would have to fire any reporter who ran this story because 70% of our advertising is pharmaceutical companies. Now, what are you going to do about that? So we're in very, very bad trouble, and it appears to me that there are two options. One of them is a very visible and quite threatening populist revolution, which hopefully would not go violent. But I'm not squeamish about these things. If that's the way, if that's where our fate takes us, then that's where we go. Because we can only guide our fate just so much. Or we're just going to have to be satisfied with having them feed us this information that they're doing. It's like this thing that came out about a report in Sweden. 71%, according to Sweden, one of the most civilized countries, if not the most civilized country on earth, is now the rape capital of the world.
We can't say that.
I mean, can we say that?
No. Heck. You get a timeout for that.
Yeah, but guess what?
Sorry.
A Swedish outfit called, I think it's RESCON. I could be mistaken, but it'll come close. And Paul Joseph Watson, I believe, is the one who presented this information. I like Paul Watson's work a lot. He's a little colorful with his language, but other than that, I think he's a very sharp guy, and I like his points of view very much. Well, they released their study, which concluded that 71% of everyone they polled believes that a global supranational government is needed to keep everyone safe from things like disease pandemics and climate change. Now, terrorism was not on the list, but climate change was. And then the report goes on to state that 62% of the Brits who were polled identified themselves as a citizen of the globe as well as being British, which means, to me at least, that your survey and your study is completely bogus. It's clearly a politically driven, and you're just part of the agenda, and your study is useless. But it's like Abby Hoffman said one time, the truth is not what you say. It's how many people you can say it to and how often. And that's where we are now. We are literally, we have now ignored every warning from every genius visionary who ever put pen or typewriter key to paper. We have completely disconnected from their logic of warning, and we are now living it. And this is just the beginning. I'm afraid, and I'm using the word afraid. I'm not afraid because I expected it, but I am deeply concerned that this year will prove to be a very, very serious one in the history of, well, the world.
I agree with you.
Now, the hope is that we can stave it off for a while, but eventually the right maniac at the right time with the right weapon is going to visit this violence upon the earth. And we can theorize all day long, well, it's a secret cabal, and they just they want to reduce the population of the earth. Well, that's entirely possible. Let's see what we're getting now instead of one side or the other from different sources, or maybe opposing viewpoints from different sources, which, of course, is ideal, because that's an actual argument. Now what we're getting are two sides. The two sides have sort of blended into one, and they offer contradictory facts. And I guess it's just like tossing out, well, let's see, we're going hunting, we want to lure some game in. So let's throw out some nuts, and let's also throw out some meat. That way we'll get the birds, and we'll get the four-legged mammals. This seems to be what they're doing, and depending on which target in the audience And he said that Harvard and Yale, these Ivy League schools, well, they run on federal money, and he mentions federal student loans. And so while he was talking, I went to the net and I looked that up, and I found a list of no-loan schools. All these Ivy League schools were on there, Dartmouth and William & Mary and Wellesley and, of course, Harvard and Yale and Princeton, a bunch of them. I mean, a bunch of them. But then I looked at Harvard closely. $31 billion tax-exempt endowment. Where do you get $31 billion of tax-exempt endowment? From the feds, I presume. I didn't go beyond that. And I pointed out this contradiction, too, and said, you can't trust just what immediately gets your eye on the Internet, either. These are no-loan schools. Well, except they've got this multi-billion dollar endowment. So they're completely disconnected to the Fed, except for this endowment. But that's where we are now. Now we're getting. It's a two-faced informational monster, but we don't see the profile. We see it, its face straight on. We see both sides of its face, so to speak. And it's just weird. It's deliciously weird because it's so, you know, archetypal in its dystopian, you know, deceit-fueled, manipulation-fueled nature. It's just weird. So, the other part is, you can't let this stuff distress you because it's just humans doing it. Even if it's Satan driving it, which, of course, it is, if you believe what's written in the Bible, it is. But the human beings are the ones that are being manipulated to do these things. And last time I checked, we're human beings too, so roll with Newton. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction, which means that in the political sense, we really make no progress because the reaction, while opposite, is equal, which means neither side really gets anywhere, and the state that we're in remains the same. Does any of that make sense?
Makes perfect sense from the great word picture that you had given us about the profile and then looking straight on to variations of the Hegelian dialectic, as well as, I mean, good versus evil. I would urge everyone to look at the big picture. By the way, this segment we're talking with John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight. If you're not a subscriber, be one. Help the cause. Caravan to Midnight. Subscribe to the absolutely fantastic program that John B. Wells has, and take advantage of all the features. Caravan to Midnight. That's right there on your screen. But yeah, it makes perfect sense, John. It really does. And we are entering right now into this, I think, a year of change. I think the summer of rage, summer of change. And I think we're going to see big changes. But at the same time, I also believe we have to pay attention to the little subtle changes that we may not pay attention to because we're too busy gazing into the larger abyss.
Yeah, and folks in the listening audience, you know, don't let this stuff get you down. Just don't. Just always remember one thing. The Creator, God Almighty, is in control of this. He knows exactly what He's doing. And people say, well, why doesn't Jesus come back? I mean, really? Well, according to Scripture, He's extending the timeline so that as many people as possible will come to the truth and will not die in a fallen state. Remember, just like that genius kept identifying himself as a scientist. I'm a scientist. Well, as a scientist. And this guy's a friend of Jeffrey Epstein's, who wrote this book called A Universe from Nothing. The Bible was written by illiterate people. He actually stated this when I was interviewing them on Costa Cosina. And in those days, I was really more in gentleman mode than confrontational mode. Because what I should have said is, well, I think you just undid your entire argument there, Mr. Scientist, sir, because it had to be divinely inspired. If illiterate people wrote it, I think illiterate means you can't read right. I think that's what it means.
That's a good point. excellent point.
And you know, the disrespect that they're showing, people will say, well, you're just deluding yourself, Bobby Wells. If you think that Donald Trump isn't an insider, he's not a political insider. If he were, why would he be being met with all this blowback. They talk about Melania and not wearing a scarf around the pole, but not wearing one around the Saudi Arabia. They don't call her the first lady. They call her Melania, like these morons in the general media have any business referring to our first lady as Melania, like they're on first name basis. But oh, they can't bow and scrape enough to the football player that just left the White House the other month there in the dress. So it's nauseating. They keep pushing all these agendas, you know. And when I make mention of it, people say, well, you hate gays. It's like, no, I don't hate gays. You can hate the sinner without hating the sinner. There are things about my own conduct in my own life that I quite literally hate. I wish I could jump in the time machine and go back and undo it, but unfortunately I can't. So you do what's called repent. You admit you were wrong, you say you're sorry to your Lord, and you don't do it anymore, and you're done. Right. At that point, you're done. You don't have to just grovel all the time. Just get over it and move on with your life.
Amen. So, amen, yeah. Yeah, but Johnny, make a good point about Michael. I'm sorry, Michelle Obama. A little tough time there, yeah. And of course, the treatment that we see. What hypocrites! What hypocrites the people are out there with respect to the treatment.
Well, they don't even know what hypocrisy is anymore, Doug. They don't know what hypocrisy is, and they certainly don't know what shame is. So,
true.
What do you do with that?
you look with, I suppose, you look with sadness, pity, but the level of understanding that we've got. I'll tell you, we've got a. I suppose, John, our jobs got a big job ahead of us to get as many educate as many people as possible out there, and bring the truth to as many people as possible before the crap really hits the fan, and I think it will here in a short period of time. I really do.
We spoke with Tom Kakal. I didn't mean to cut you off. You go ahead.
No, I just want to say we got about a minute and a half left of your time, and I'm just so gracious for you checking in with us. And if nothing else, I just want to make sure all of our audience knows that we support Caravan of Midnight 100%, and we urge everyone to subscribe to your program, and we thank you for being the voice of truth that you are. I want to state that publicly.
Thank you very much. You know, not in no small part, whatsoever, Doug, you and your son and your program have helped us to triple our membership in the last year. And I thank you very, very much for supporting us, and all the people out there who support us and send us well wishes and pray for us and who help other people. It's the most wonderful audience that a person could ever hope for. And look, in closing, let me just say this. Ron Kukal was on the USS Liberty on June the 8th. That will be the anniversary of the Israeli Air Force and Naval Forces attacking that ship. And he will tell you of the miracles that he experienced there. He said, time moved forward, time moved back, time stood still. I was below decks, and the next thing I know, I'm above decks with my nose smashed into a steel plate. He said they sent a spread of 5 torpedoes at us, but only one hit. And when it hit a steel beam. If it had not hit that beam, it would have gone deep into the ship and probably would have taken the thing down. He will tell you about miracles. And I just ask people, don't just reject the proposition that God exists and you have a direct connection to him if you'll just use it. He will help you. He will show himself. He will make himself known to you. But it's free will. You have to ask. Once you have that faith, nobody can take it from you. You have to give your faith away. So get it if you don't have it, and keep it and hold on to it if you do. And God bless you and your listeners.
Wow. J.B. Wells, thank you. A whole lot of wisdom encapsulated in a short amount of time. And I just, again, thank you so very much for everything you do. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us in this segment. My best to you, your program, your family, and of course all of your listeners. Will continue to pray for you and support you, and let's stick together, brother.
Let's do it. There's no other way. Thank you,
all right, man. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Folks, that was John B. Wells, Caravan to Midnight, man. What a guy. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe to Caravan to Midnight. You get more bang for your buck there than any other program on the internet in terms of subscription-based programming. Joe?
Yeah, folks, we'll be right back with Liz Croken and Alicia Powell after this network break. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Coming back in about 5 seconds.
I just spoke with Rose, by the way.
Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. I want to welcome each and every one of you to this broadcast. We've got a great segment lined up for you. Alicia Powell, P-O-W-E, just a marvelous investigative journalist doing the work the corporate media is not expected to do because, well, they're compromised, and doing the work, surpassing the work many of the so-called investigative journalists are doing as well. Joining up with Liz Croken as well. They've done together. There's a great piece on WorldNet Daily, WND, and we'll link to it here in the program description. Bottom line, the issue is the Seth Rich homicide, which unraveling that will lead to the exposure of the machinations of the deep state, DNC, some of the political operatives. It'll blow the narrative of the hack versus the leak out of the water. It will unravel and reveal the criminality in much of the operations of the deep state. So without any further ado, Alicia Powell, thanks for joining us, and we're waiting for Liz Crokin to we're waiting to get a hold of her. But in the meantime, come on in.
Well, what's remarkable is how the mainstream media, if you watch CNN earlier, or anytime there's a mention of this story in the media, it's you know, the reporter or the individual who even mentions it is berated as a conspiracy theorist. And, you know, what gives this story any less validity than the unsubstantiated claims that President Trump has colluded with Russia to rig the election, right?
That's right.
After about, you know, nearly 2 weeks of investigating this story every day, we have found no evidence that this was robbery, that his murder was related to robbery. He was found dead with his watch and lots of money in his pocket and his credit cards. And I think it's just absolutely aggravating that people are so prone to believing that this is just fake news.
That's right. You know, Alicia, now you've done great work. By the way, you can follow her on Twitter at Alicia_Powell, P-O-W-E. Follow her work, and also on WND. This particular homicide has so much, is so common. And Joe and I have worked, and myself, I've worked unsolved homicides as an investigator. And I've worked, you're dealing with family members. You're dealing with a very contentious at times such elements, you know, within the family. You're dealing with the press. You're dealing with the police. You're dealing with the general public. What's your feeling on this? Who is attempting to stifle the facts of this case?
Well, what difference does it make what someone who's speculation means nothing, right?
Right.
But when we speak to the investigator that the family hired, the man who paid the investigator to work to the family, because the family couldn't afford, the family was getting no answers on the case. So a man named by Ed Batowski, who I guess is wealthy, reached out to the family just for moral support, and he offered to pay for a private investigator. After months and months of not finding any information out from the Washington, D.C. Police Department. And the family was actually praising Detective Wheeler, the private investigator, just a day before Fox News broke that story about the federal...
Is it ringing? Oh, there we go.
Alicia got pushed off and Liz got... It's a coup.
Did I overthrow her? You guys there?
Yeah, okay. Liz, hang on just a second. We're getting so tech error.
Hold on a second, Liz. We lost Alicia. We're gonna try to bring her back. We might have to use a phone number for one of you guys, a landline.
Somebody didn't update their Skype, apparently. Liz, shame on you.
Is it me?
I don't know. Oh, well.
We'll figure it out.
Well, Liz, while we're trying to get Alicia back, welcome back. Glad you're okay from that stuff yesterday.
Yeah, it was a really strange afternoon, that's for sure. Never a dull moment over here.
Did you ever get any more answers? I know John called in. After you talked with John yesterday, he called in and gave us an update. But have you received any additional updates in the last 20 hours?
So basically what happened is, and I'm still not sure, but... Basically, what happened is someone came to my house claiming to be a police officer, saying that they were trying to serve me. They had held up a badge. This person wasn't a police officer. I refused to open my door. The person insisted that that I opened my door. I'm like, look, if you want to serve me something, leave it at my doorstep. I'm not opening my door. Sure. And mind you, I live in a secure building where you have to be buzzed in. So they snuck in. You know, they were in the hallway. And so anyways, the person got really aggressive and they said that they wouldn't leave until I opened the door. And she insisted that legally I had to open the door. And so I called my mom, got my mom on the phone, and I'm like, Mom, this person that claims to be a police officer is trying to get in my place. And the person then said, oh, no, I'm not a police officer. Anyways, long story short, it was paperwork related to my, you know, my ex committed a sexual assault against me, and I've been dealing with a lawsuit for 5 years now. It was paperwork that had to do with that, but I will say it was paperwork that was dated 2 months ago that's already been served to me. So I was just in court for 2 weeks, I was just in court 2 weeks ago and was served papers, and so it made no sense that would be served papers, I'm pretty sure, are the same papers I was served 2 weeks ago.
Right.
So, you know, covering this Seth Rich stuff, lots of strange things have been happening to me. You guys know how these deep state people operate, so you just have to be really careful. And, you know, there was no way I was going to answer the door to anyone, you know. So,
got it.
It is what it is.
All right. Now we were able to get both Liz, you, and Alicia on. Alicia was giving us kind of a rundown when you... In your absence, but
hey, Liz.
Hey, girl. That's my partner in crime.
Well, Liz, why don't you go ahead and introduce Alicia properly to our audience, and just go ahead and take it, because there's so much information that you folks, both of you, have, and of course, WND article just posted today. So, Liz, go ahead and introduce Alicia. And
Alicia is amazing. She's an awesome journalist, and she actually found me because of your platform after I went on your show and revealed that I was being censored for my work exposing and covering sex trafficking. She reached out to me and said that, you know, asked me if I'd be interested in reporting for WND. So she recruited me. So I'm very grateful for her for that. And I'm very grateful that there's still an outlet out there that's willing to cover Seth Rich's murder. Because as you know, and as your audience knows, every outlet that's covering this is either spewing lies or they're getting threats and intimidated into silence. The latest is Sean Hannity. It looks like he may have lost his job for covering an unsolved murder. So I'm grateful that I was able to connect with WND thanks to Alicia, and we've been working really hard on this story around the clock all week. She's on the ground in Washington, D.C. I live in California, so I've been doing work via the phone and investigative work behind the computer. And that's where we're at now. The story that I broke today, I don't know if you guys got too into it because I was having problems here online, but the story that came out today on WND that I worked on, I interviewed Jack Berkman. Now, he is a GOP lobbyist who has started a fund and a group. He basically has put together an investigation team to investigate Seth Rich's murder. I did a long interview with him yesterday on the phone. He has put up $105,000 in reward money for anyone that can give information that leads to an arrest. And he has a whole team of investigators investigating Seth Rich's murder, and they've been working on this for months. So I did a long interview with him yesterday, and he revealed a lot of bombshell information. So the first thing that he revealed to me, and this was all on the record, he told me that initially everybody was cooperating with the Seth Rich murder investigation. When I say everybody, I said he was referring to all parties involved. So that would be the police, that would be the DNC, all the family members. No problem in the beginning, the first few months after Seth Rich's death. Everybody is 180. Almost everybody is 180. At least the authorities have. So what he told me is that police are no longer cooperating with him and his team. He said that not only are police not cooperating, they're withholding key evidence. Okay? He said that they have, he said he saw one surveillance video of Seth's murder. And he said that they have at least one other tape that they are withholding that they should release to the public and that he is trying to view. He also said that the DC police's, you know, theory that this is a robbery is a complete and total joke and absolutely ridiculous, which we all know. He said that the DC police are not only withholding evidence, but they're also doing everything they can to suppress and suffocate this investigation. And he also said that the police are colluding with the DC mayor to make this go away. All right? He also said that in the beginning, the DNC was very cooperative with him. And he said that Donna Brazile, when she was still at the DNC, that she was very nice and she cooperated with him and his team investigating this case. He said there's no longer any cooperation with the DNC. And furthermore, the DNC crisis spokesperson that is now speaking for Seth Rich's family, he said that this spokesperson, Brad Bowman, has been viciously attacking him. He's been calling him names, and he's like, you know, he's supposed to be the spokesperson for the family. We're all just trying to find out who murdered Seth Rich so the family can get justice and some closure. Why is this guy calling me names? Why is this guy attacking me? He said it's gotten so bad to the point that he might send a cease and desist letter to Brad Bowman and file a defamation suit against him for attacking him. So, and I don't know if Alicia got into this because I wasn't able to connect, but Alicia talked to the D.C. Police Department to get a statement from them on what Jack Berkman told us. And the D.C. Police Department basically mocked us and called us conspiracy theorists and said they don't engage with conspiracy theorists. Excuse me? We are putting out good, hard journalism. We're doing good, hard investigative work, and the D.C. Police Department, there's a dead young man, and you guys are going to mock us? This isn't a joke.
And the family's political crisis consultant, Brad Bauman, who was assigned to the family by the DNC, although he emphatically denies it, he says you're evil and you should burn in hell if you at all believe that there's any ties to Seth Rich and WikiLeaks. Now, why would any logical person rule out the possibility that maybe the person who was leaking the DNC emails was Seth Rich? And if he were, why wouldn't the spirit cooking Clintons have him off? Mm. Right? So... Well, if there's no smoke, why are they censoring us?
Well, and why?
There's no fire.
Right.
Look, we're journalists. We are very professional, and we are genuinely dedicated to getting to the truth. We are genuinely dedicated to our craft. We're not fake news. We're not lapdogs. We're not shills. We're real journalists. We're working our butts off 24/7. And I'm sorry, whether the police like what we're reporting or don't like what we're reporting, we don't deserve to be treated this way. And for them to just mock us is insulting, not only to us, but to Seth Rich's family and his soul. It's sick. These people are sick and they're evil.
Alicia, did you deal with the public information officer of the Metropolitan Police or someone else?
Well, first I deal with the public information officer who's basically just said we're not going to talk about a pending investigation. And I actually went to speak to a homicide detective yesterday, and I spoke with someone who said we'll let you speak to our chief, the lead investigator on this case, and when we show he'll give you an interview. I mean, we're not going to give you details about the case, but we can give you some general information. So he was supposed to call me back, and then hours fly by throughout the day and he did not. And finally, I called him up, and his name is Joseph Della Camera. He is the same person who I was told by a source I cannot name that was told to stand down by Donna Brazile and even someone higher up in the DNC from investigating the case. So his response is to me, I cannot speak about this.
Okay.
I cannot speak about this. And he's hung up the phone. And so...
And you guys, though,
strange.
Let's say this is a conspiracy theory, and by the chance that, you know, we're being led astray here, because we're just reporting what we're told by our sources, and that's our job. Our job is not to create the narrative like the MSM does, like CNN does. Our job is to report what we find out. All right, and even if we are being led astray by our sources or whatnot, then release the evidence. You know, that D.C. Police Department, then release the footage, release the evidence, release the autopsy, release the bullet forensics, and prove us and our sources wrong. They refuse to do that. So, you know, if you start calling us names and mocking our hard work, why don't you release the evidence and let the public decide?
Right.
And apparently the family has the computer and the Washington, D.C. police have the computer. That's according to the family spokesman. So then if you have evidence there, and there's also Detective Wheeler told me that the brother does not want him investigating WikiLeaks. In fact, one of the stipulations in their negotiation, there was a 2-week negotiation that took place before the family decided to hire the private investigator. And one of the things they agreed on was that Detective Wheeler would not look into the emails and not look into WikiLeaks. Why?
Whoa. Hang on a second.
This is information that I don't think you've
reported yet. Are you telling me, this is the first I'm hearing about this, are you telling me that Rod Wheeler, as a private investigator, was hired with conditions on areas that he could not?
Yes, that's what I'm telling you.
And he agreed to this?
Isn't that insane?
I
don't know if he agreed to or not agreed to, but that was told to me by Wheeler and another source. And that's why it's somehow the family, you know, I know they're going through a sensitive time. I mean,
wow.
But there's something suspicious going on with WikiLeaks and emails that we're supposed to just turn our heads and forget about and move on with our lives and talk about how Trump should be impeached for colluding with Russia, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah.
I've never, real
conspiracy theory.
Yeah, this is huge to me, having worked on unsolved homicides. There would be no way period that I would ever, as an investigator, agree to conditions like that. I can accept, for example, saying, well, clear anything that you're going to release to the media through us first, but not conditions as to who not to enter, to investigate or look at. That to me, right there is, just wow.
You know, what we're working on now is one of the things that Jack Berkman told me over the phone. And by the way, I really think you guys should have him on the show. I'm going to give John his contact information because he's a really good interview and he's really well-spoken, very animated as well. But he told me that Seth Rich had this whole kind of secret online life. He had all of these accounts, like multiple social media accounts, multiple Skype accounts, multiple email accounts. Some are anonymous, some weren't anonymous. And Jack is looking into this, and he said that they're going to be revealing a lot of information on that in the next coming days. And a lot of internet sleuths on 4chan have been finding a lot of these secret accounts he has. So there's a wealth of information online and probably on all of Seth's devices that will be clues as to who murdered him and why. So that's something to look out for in the next few days, because I think we're going to have a lot of information coming out about that. So it should be an interesting few days, but that's where we're at now, and that's what we're working on. But yes, Seth Rich was very active online, and you know, it's kind of like if he's setting up all of these back channels to communicate with people online in a fashion that's not traceable, why would he do that unless he's planning to exchange information that was top secret or dangerous information, right? So I think that's something that's really interesting and something that we'll be working on and you guys should be, you know, looking out for in the upcoming days.
Our congressional leaders, our senators, they need to be calling for a special investigation into this. And, I mean, one person, one congressman actually did have the courage to talk about this today and call for a special investigation. Texas Congressman Blake Farenthold. He was on CNN earlier today, and you should go and watch the clip of these two CNN anchors basically belittling him for saying that we should be the Seth Rich murder investigation should be a part of the Russia investigation into hacking the election. And why is it not? And hopefully that's where we go next with this story, is we get some congressional leadership, some senators to call for a special investigation and stop dismissing this and group thinking and following what the mainstream media is saying and shine a light on this if and raise national awareness to this story, because this is not mainstream. Maybe people who really follow the news are following what we're doing and, you know, see how Sean Hannity is getting censored, but it's not what it would be if the roles were reversed. And this had been Republicans who allegedly killed one of their staffers. Imagine what the outcry would be nationwide. Every uninformed and every person who doesn't care about politics, every American would be calling Trump a murderer and demanding investigations, and there'd be riots in the street. Yeah, on the other side, it seems as if conservatives are just as prone to repeating what the mainstream media's propaganda is.
Exactly. And folks, our guest, Liz Croken, you know her, and Alicia Powell, P-O-W-E. Follow Alicia _Powell. That's her Twitter handle. And Liz Croken, at Liz Croken on Twitter as well. I have to say, we admire your collective and individual work on this case. And I'll say this, since we've been talking so heavily about this, our sponsors are being harassed in some cases. Some of them, not all of them, are being harassed. And, we are feeling the effects of this. But we're not going to back down. We are not going to stop talking about this regardless. I don't care if you know.
Well, I hope you guys relay to your, you know, the harassment's a coordinated effort by Media Matters, which is run by David Brock, who's closely tied to Podesta and the Clintons. And Rush Limbaugh actually talked about this weeks ago on his show. He talks about it a lot. This is a coordinated effort to destroy people that are trying to reveal the truth. And I hope that your sponsors realize that these people that are contacting them are not real people. They're paid by a corrupt organization. They are bots. They are fake accounts. If you go on my Twitter page and you see the majority of people that are condemning me and harassing me for covering this, they're fake accounts. They have – no one's retweeting their stuff. You never see a real name on the Twitter handle. You never see a picture. It'll be like a picture of a cartoon. And so I hope sponsors know that these are not real people. Real people want you to cover this. Real people want to demand answers, okay? And so I hope that your sponsors realize that, that is a con job and that those aren't real people, you know, harassing them. They're fake people trying to cover up the murder of a really good, patriotic young man. And there's one thing I want to say before we sign off here. You know, to back up what Alicia says, you know, Alicia and I and you guys, we can only do so much. You know, we're putting ourselves in danger and we're literally risking our lives to get the truth out there because we're good people and we believe in getting the truth out there no matter where it leads, and we're patriots, all right? But we need the support, and we need as much support as possible. And I encourage everybody out there to tweet about this. Tweet your congressman. Tweet the FBI. Tweet the White House, you know, write the White House. We need to get there to be a federal investigation and or congressional investigation. We need to get the feds involved because that's the only way that we're really going to get to the truth. You know, we can only do so much, but if enough people, enough Americans, enough people around the world start tweeting Congress, members of Congress, the vice president, the president, Jeff Sessions, your local representatives, if they start getting flooded with phone calls, emails, tweets, then there will be so much pressure because the people are more powerful than these sleazy, evil, scumbag elites that they will be forced to do something about it. So I encourage everyone to take action, and you do not need to leave your bedroom to take action. Just pick up your phone, pick up your computer, and start putting the pressure on people in power.
And to add on to that, you know, the left is so desperate. Since Donald Trump went to shellack the Democrat Party and the liberal media, we won this election. So now they're resorting to censorship. We're based on just what was reported on TV and the mainstream media and Hollywood and the music industry. Hillary Clinton would be the president right now. But we have this internet as our greatest tool to pass on this information, spread it like wildfire, and they can't censor that. They can maybe suspend our Twitter account, but we have more power than we ever had as a society to really lift the lid off the griminess that is, in my view as a conservative, the Democrat Party.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Alicia. Thank you so very much. And it's a pleasure to meet you. And thank you for being on our side. Thank you for being a warrior for the truth. And Liz, thank you as well. Teaming up with Alicia, you two are the greatest. Thank you so very much. And folks, please support these two young ladies in their quest for truth. We will, and we will stand together. Thank you both. Wow. What great ladies, huh, Joe?
Absolutely. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this network break.
Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water. But a bing, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's small, smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.